93 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. The remains of three American service members killed by a militant drone strike in Jordan will be returned to the U.S. soon. CBS's Linda Kenyon has more from the White House.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says President Biden will be there.
This Friday, the President and the First Lady are honored to attend the dignified transfer of the three U.S. Army soldiers we lost in Jordan.
That's a tough day. That is a tough day.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says while the President will be at Dover Air Force Base, he will not deliver remarks.
There is a ritual to it, and it's very somber and it's very solemn, and that's not the place for speeches.
The president has vowed, however, to respond to the attack at the right time. Senators questioned social media CEOs today on Capitol Hill about what their platforms are doing to protect young users from dangerous content and sexual predators. CBS's Natalie Brand also talked to parents about their concerns.
You know, it seems like these big tech companies, they know exactly how to make it work for them. And the parents don't know what's going on.
Tammy Rodriguez's 11-year-old daughter, Selena, died by suicide after what her mom calls an extreme addiction to Snapchat and Instagram.
The White House has called it a crisis. eBay will pay $59 million to settle with the Justice Department over thousands of pill press machines that it sold on its platform. The feds say the machines can be used to make counterfeit pills that look just like prescription pills and lace them with substances like fentanyl, the drugs fueling the deadliest overdose crisis in U.S. history. A state of emergency over fentanyl in Oregon.
Governor Tina Kotek's been working on it for months.
The state, the city, and the county, each government needs to declare a state of emergency around the fentanyl crisis. So we're going to do that.
Every jurisdiction has an incident commander to lead the government's work on the fentanyl emergency.
That's KLX reporter Annette Newell. The first of two big storms hit California today. The second expected to move in on Sunday. But Brian Ferguson with the Governor's Office of Emergency Services tells us both will bring risks of flooding and mudslides.
There's an intensive effort underway today to do outreach to those groups and to really have the state partner with locals to get the word out.
The NBA is making major changes to its draft this year in New York. For the first time ever, it's moving to a two-day format with round one on June 26th and round two on the 27th. Last year's draft ran nearly 5 hours. Rumor has it. And Adele announced today that she is heading overseas for a mini concert series in Munich, Germany this summer. Presale tickets will be available next week. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump has a 5-point lead over President Biden in Wisconsin in the latest poll. The Bloomberg News Morning Consult survey polled close to 5,000 registered voters between the 16th and the 22nd of this month. Trump's lead is wider than the poll's 4-point margin of error. Republican bills to ban race-based programs at the universities of Wisconsin are moving through the legislature. They got a hearing this morning. Democratic Senator Kelda Royce says diversity is still important because racism is still a problem.
There have been a whole host of public policy decisions that were made that have created deep inequalities that remain to this day. They're not part of history. They're not part of the past.
The UW Board of Regents recently agreed to limits to diversity efforts in exchange for state funding. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Marquette with a win on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a victory over Villanova. 85-80, the Golden Eagles now with a 5-game winning streak. Thanks to Tyler Kolick with a career-high 32 points. They play Saturday at Georgetown. Baseball, the Brewers general manager Matt Arnold says he's excited. They were able to sign first baseman Reese Hoskins in free agency from the Phillies.
We couldn't be more thrilled to have Reese here. And I think we talked about kind of over the course of the offseason, you know, this was the kind of player that we were looking for. You know, I mean, this is a guy that has a long track record of being a really, really good hitter. He's had some huge hits in really big games. That's what we're looking for.
NFL Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark has been named to the Pro Bowl. I asked him, how could they have dominated the 49ers offense through 3.5 quarters and let the game slip away?
Yeah, I feel like we did that pretty much the whole game. What, 6 minutes of the game? It's tough. It's tough.
It's the Packers' Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
For tonight, cloud cover increasing, some areas of fog and low temperatures in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, more clouds than sun, highs in the low 40s. On Friday, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, upper 30s for a high, sun's back for the weekend, and low 40s. Right now it's 33.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. And yes, we were on last night. We're on tonight. And yeah, we're going to be on Wednesday. We're going to be on Thursday. We're going to be on Friday. Every day of the week now, Busted Pencils is here. Educated educators talking education. The number, 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci. Hey, We sometimes things happen. Family emergency. Got a call, though. Everything's okay. Things are taken care of. Cannot make it, though. We'll be back tomorrow, but things are okay. Johnny Lupinacci, take care out there. Make sure the family is safe. And again, everybody out there, Busted Pencils, we're thinking about you. Johnny Lupinacci. The number, again, 844-967-2789. You know, we're going to have recurring guests that we've had on the show many times, but, we're going to reintroduce you to our guest tonight, Alan Collins from Student Loans, studentloanjustice.org. Alan, welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, it's great to be here, Tim. You guys are really burning the candle at all ends at this point here.
Hey, you know, it's really exciting. Johnny and I were, you know, incredibly excited to find out from Civic Media that, you know, we're moving the show to 5 days a week. And in fact, reach out to you because we're thinking, you know, Student Loan Justice, Alan, you've been on the show. You've been a great friend and always bringing lots of great information. So, you know, again, having regular check-ins with you and your organization is something we look forward to. And I know all the listeners of Busted Pencils, too, are going to benefit from this. Alan, you know, anybody who has met you on the show before knows, okay, he's the student loan guy, okay? Not the guy who gives student loans, but the guy who gives student loans a lot of crap. Put it that way, okay? He is out there fighting for, you know, student loan. People say student loan forgiveness. Alan, we went through what was potentially going to be a $10,000 up to $20,000 forgiveness, kind of like, you know, false start from the Biden administration. We got excited. It didn't happen. However, you have been at this student loan thing for a long time. How about giving us a little student loan 101 for the listener right now? Student loans, what's up? Why should we be concerned? And Alan, what's the future hold?
Sure, I'll try to give you a 40-year, 30-second elevator pitch. Student loans are weaponized. Student loans have been uniquely stripped of nearly every standard consumer protection going back to the 1970s. They've taken away bankruptcy rights, statutes of limitations. They have offloaded all the risk of these loans. Both federal and private student loans, by the way, have been stripped of certainly bankruptcy rights. So the loans have been turned into licenses to steal. They've been turned into predatory, hyperinflationary loan instruments. Quite frankly, I think something that the founding fathers really wanted to avoid when they called for uniform bankruptcy laws in the Constitution. I keep coming back to bankruptcy just because it's such an inherently vital part of any lending instrument. Nobody wants to file for bankruptcy, obviously, but the leverage of bankruptcy has got to be there to keep the lending side honest. And so we've seen that stripped from student loans, and the results any economist probably could have predicted. We've seen hyperinflation in the cost of college. We've seen a massive increase in the nation's student loan debt tab. And at this point, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years now, and over the past 3 years, I can tell you that the numbers, the top line statistics on the lending system show clearly, by all rational metrics, the entire lending system is essentially failed at this point. And, you know, this is predatory lending at its finest. This is this is something that could never have continued. And now we are living that reality. We're sort of in the Wild West now. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
Okay, so forgiveness, it's all there. But, you know, we're going to talk about that. But Alan, you know, just to put it out there so people understand what you're talking about here, too, first of all, you're not saying forgiveness. When you talk about bankruptcy and you talk about the founding fathers, maybe it's, you know, to recognize, okay, first of all, you know, the founding fathers were for bankruptcy because, you know, hey, one of the things that was really bad in England was the fact that they were forever in debt and all of those things. And so they initiated this, but maybe put it, you know, because people are like, I don't understand. I don't get it. And you're like, well, check it out. Like, I can sign up for a credit card, recklessly spend on that credit card, and I can kind of go, sorry, I can't pay up, let me off the hook with it, right?
It's a little more complicated than that.
I know.
The idea,
but I have the ability to ask for that.
Yes, the ability to discharge a debt in bankruptcy gives you leverage of negotiation, where you can sit down with the credit card company and they'll say, okay, well, we're gonna cancel this interest. We're gonna maybe even cancel a bit of the principal, probably not. But the point is, you can negotiate a fair and reasonable settlement of the debt. With student loans, both federal and private, that leverage has been taken away from the borrower. And
why? Stop right there. How? Why? Why in the world is this just fun taken away from student loans? I mean, what in the world? Help us understand why that happened.
It's really a story of government and private greed. The people in Washington, D.C., there was a nascent government-sponsored entity called Sallie Mae that was created under Richard Nixon that was a private company, but it was publicly supported, had members of the Treasury on its board, etc. They saw the opportunity to make a lot of money, and removing the right of bankruptcy lay at the core of this whole thing. So that's what they started doing in the 1970s, restricting the right of bankruptcy until 1998, when it was made completely totally and forever unavailable for borrowers. What they said at the time, their rationale was that, oh, look at all these students. They're, you know, fleeing from graduation to bankruptcy court. And they trotted out these stories. Look at this law school student. Look at this doctor. And we now know, Tim, that back when student loans were treated the same as all other loans in bankruptcy proceedings, the discharge rate was far lower than all other types of consumer debt. It was like 0.3%. It was less than 1% discharge rate. So there was never a rationale to remove the right. But, you know, here we are 50 years later, and we're seeing the end of that, the end of that very long and painful parade.
So here we are. It's Allen College, studentloanjustice.org. The number is 844-967-2789. Going to have a major announcement here coming up. Just not yet, though, because we're still doing a little bit of student loan 101 for people. So, Alan, you said, you know, we started off, and in fact, we came into, you know, recognizing and noticing you when the student loan forgiveness proposal got put forward by the Biden administration. That was, you know, $10,000, and if you happen to have a Pell Grant, up to $20,000 if you were making $125,000 or less, and that would just be canceled. And millions of all the student loan borrowers signed up and said, let me in on this deal. I would love it. We got excited. We thought about, we imagined the possibilities, what would happen the next day when that was gone and didn't have that. And then it just didn't happen. I remember interviewing you back when that came out. You were even at that point going, kind of like going, it's not going to happen anyway, Tim. You knew then that it wasn't going to happen. How did you know that?
Well, I saw the cancellation debate come from nothing. In fact, it was our petition, change.org/cancel student loans, that elevated the concept of canceling student loans by executive order into the public conversation in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it was a long story, but the Democrats, when the petition really started exploding, Democrats like Elizabeth Warren championed the concept. But I could, you know, I live and breathe this stuff, and I could tell early that Biden was, he did not want to cancel loans. He was one of the most.
I was going to say, wait, give people just a little history lesson on President Biden and bankruptcy.
Yeah, President Biden was one of the key, even as a junior senator in 1976, he was a surprisingly key guy that oversaw the first removal of bankruptcy rights from student loans. And in 2005, he deserves the lion's share of the credit for getting bankruptcy taken away from private student loans. You know, people call him the MBNA president and, you know, a Delaware guy, you know, President Biden, among all living, serving politicians, probably deserves more credit than anyone for this student loan catastrophe that we now see. So I knew Biden was never serious about canceling loans. And quite frankly, I have to say in hindsight, even Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Schumer, they were using it as a talking point, quite frankly, for, I think, more political purposes than any real intention or desire of actually canceling loans. And so when Biden rolled out the $10,000 or $20,000 cancellation, we were glad to see it. But, you know, the way he did it was doomed to fail. It was designed to be sued. And that's exactly what happened. And with the conservative Supreme Court, we saw the results. Biden pointed to a very ill-fitting law. He could have just pointed to the Higher Education Act, which gives the secretary very broad, wide authority to cancel away of the loans. He didn't do that. He used this weird law I won't even get into, but suffice it to say, the whole thing was kind of designed to fail from my perspective. And so now we're sort of stuck, and Biden's trying to play the same game in the current election.
Yeah, here we are. Here we are again. And so maybe potentially. So, you know, is it going to serve the current president as he goes into the next reelection to campaign on student loan forgiveness again? And so potentially going like, we're not going to see student loan forgiveness until after November, if at all, potentially in that sense. Now, I know people out there, you're listening. And again, jump in 844-967-2789. Our guest, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. We're talking student loans, bankruptcy, all of that there. But, you know, we're getting ready to come up on the break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about, because I know there are people out there going, but Tim, Alan, wait. There, you know, these $1 billion of loans have been forgiven, though, since then. It's been done. I mean, Biden's out there. He's slashing. He's breaking it down. He is canceling debt everywhere. Oh, student loan forgiveness. Maybe it's not a dream. Maybe it's a reality. I don't know. More when we get back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, back after the break.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new, or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue, or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tim and Johnny, two woke warriors, teaching and learning in a post-pandemic world. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
It is Busted Pencils, and I am Dr. Tim Slugger. Johnny Lupinacci taking the night. Family comes, and always when the family comes first, we make sure that we handle that. Our guest, Alan Collins, he is from studentloanjustice.org. We're talking student loans 101, kind of laid it out there, bankruptcy, all the problems with student loans, the forgiveness that was never going to be forgiven. And Alan, I was just bringing up, though, the point that there are going to be people out there going, but Tim and Alan, come on. Give President Biden some credit. He has slashed and wiped out billions of dollars in student loan debt. Alan, is that true?
Well, the Department of Education has, under these income-driven repayment plans that have been in existence since 1995, they have finally started to cancel some loans. I suppose Biden should maybe take credit for the fact that $131 billion in federal student loans have indeed been canceled. But Tim, these were loans that by law, by rule, should have been canceled years or even decades ago. And yeah, you have to take two steps back here, because remember, $9 billion in interest alone is being added to the nation's debt tab. So Biden or the next president can cancel $131 billion in loans every 3 years, which is what we've seen. And the student loan balance of the country will still grow by $1.7 trillion over 10 years. So this is not a solution to the problem. And, you know, most of the people who are seeing their loans canceled are in their 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. They have paid vastly more than they borrowed back in the, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And so it's not a solution, but it looks good. It's great optics, and the Democrats are going to play the Republicans like a fiddle in the upcoming election.
Yeah, in fact, over the weekend, AOC was out on the news talk show saying we need to give Biden some credit. Anya, I see you got there. Let's see. I paid my loans. Why should I pay for someone else? That's not on you.
That's
said
not
that.
Me. Go ahead. I love it.
I love it. Can I handle that?
Yeah, jump in there, Alan.
The data is very clear. People have repaid their loans. In fact, if you look at the cash flows of the Department of Education, they have been getting repaid by the people roughly what they have lent out every year over year, going back for decades. So that $1.6 or $7 trillion that we see there, that is largely interest and penalties and fees and other things baked into that cake. It's not original principal. So unlike PPP loans, for example, which actually were very expensive for the taxpayer, the taxpayer has broken even on these federal student loans. And remember, in 1965, when the Higher Education Act was signed and the lending program was created, President Johnson at that time declared that the loans would be free of interest. Well, today, $100 billion a year is added onto our backs in interest. And this is something that certainly the Congress of 1965 they did not see this coming. They had no intention of unleashing this sort of a predatory lending beast on the country.
This is where I'd say, Alan, too, and Facebook listener, thanks for the question, pointing that out, or whatever, that was a protest statement. But, you know, go to studentloanjustice.org and look at the data. As you said, you know, lots and lots and lots of people who, quote, took out $15,000 in student loans, paid back $23,000 in student loans, and owe $50,000 still. I mean, those are real statistics. People who have paid back more than they originally borrowed and still owe even more than they paid back.
That's right. The lending system is completely broken down. And, you know, I could tell you many stories. A woman I'm thinking of borrowed $25,000 in the 80s and 90s. She repaid $100,000. And she still, on the books, owes $132,000. So we're really talking about monopoly money here. And, you know, Tim, another thing that people might want to be aware of, that whatever their opinions are, I know a lot of people love to wag their finger at the college students. Well, older people outnumber younger people with student loans today. People over 50 outnumber people under 25 with student loan debt. But the fact of the matter, and this is not subject to my opinion or anybody else's, today, 80%, fully 4 out of 5 of all federal student loan borrowers are not making payments on their loans. So even before the pandemic, it was close to 3 in 5. But here, now the repayment has begun, 82% of federal student loan borrowers are not making payments. And even if you don't include the students who are in college, probably shouldn't be paying, shouldn't be expected to be paying, it's still 78%. So we're talking about 4 in 5 of everyone is not paying. So what do you call that? That is a failed lending program. It's,
I'm going to say, that goes back to your original point, going like, look, the system is a disaster. It's a fail.
The loans will not be paid. That's a mathematical fact. The loans will therefore be canceled.
Now, so you just happens, well, let's go to that though too, because you know, Anya, producer Anya, before the show was like, you know, I just graduated in 22. I'm paying back my loans, you know, and we said, you kind of said, hey Anya, just hang out for 2 to 3 years. It's going to collapse. Anya was like, Anya, right? You're like,
I said, as long as you promise,
I never give any advice. Nobody knows what's going to happen. This is the Wild West. Lending systems fail from time to time. You know, we saw it with subprimes. We saw it with other lending instruments in U.S. history. So we don't know exactly where this is going to go. But what I can tell you is that without a doubt, the loans will not be paid by and large. Mm. The loans will be canceled. Now, whether that happens through, you know, decades long dystopian predatory, you know, feeding frenzy and people's lives are ruined and, you know, suicides and expatriation and just horrible, horrible things, or whether we finally acknowledge the truth and we find our political spine in Congress and with the president, and we efficiently and sort of effectively replace this lending system with something that works, that remains to be seen. I'm fighting for that second thing. I don't want that first thing.
No, we don't. And you know, again, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. The number is 844-967-2789. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The place for blue-collar scholars, Alan. We introduced that concept last night. This is where blue-collar scholars hang out and talk about the issues. It's student loans. Alan, I said, we got a big announcement. We're going to hold it over again. One more break. You know, we got to do our thing like all those other places. You know, tease. We're going to tease away because we've got a big announcement. You know, but before we even hit that announcement, when we come back, though, what about student loan boycotts? I know those are out there right now. I know we only have a minute, but, you know, people are out there going, you know what, though? I am, when you say people aren't paying, it's largely what you're saying are people who can't really pay. They can't do it. There is a group of lenders out there right now who are actively saying, I'm not going to pay. They're boycotting. We want to understand that strategy, what it means to boycott. I can see you got a whole, you're like ready to jump on this one. I'm going to hold you back for the break, Alan. Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Student loans, back when we get break. Back after the break.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Social media CEOs are grilled by the Senate Judiciary Committee on the dangers that their platforms bring to children. Democratic Committee Chairman Dick
Snapchat's
Durbin.
Snapchat's disappearing messages have been co-opted by criminals who financially extort young victims. TikTok has become a, quote, platform of choice for predators.
The CEOs were shown a video of parents of children who committed suicide because of social media incidents. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. response to the deadly Jordan drone strike won't be a one-off.
We'll respond on our own time, on our own schedule.
An atmospheric river of moisture comes ashore in California. National Weather Service meteorologist Robert Hart says the northern and central part of the state will get a soaking through this evening.
On average, we're expecting widespread 2 to 5 inches of rain, locally 6 inches. Maybe slightly higher again, isolated locations.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Dental therapists can now start practicing in Wisconsin. They can fill cavities, do oral exams, and pull some teeth. Governor Evers is also signing off on new money to boost oral care training in Wisconsin's technical colleges and incentives for Marquette University dental students to practice in underserved areas. Governor Evers is standing by yesterday's veto of legislative maps passed by Republican state lawmakers last week.
It's important to make sure that people have, you know, good maps to make sure that we have competitive races, all that stuff. But what I vetoed was not in that vein.
Redistricting will likely be settled by the state Supreme Court in a few weeks. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
For tonight, cloud cover increasing, some areas of fog and low temperatures in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, more clouds than sun, highs in the low 40s. On Friday, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, upper 30s for a high, sun's back for the weekend and low 40s. Right now it's 33.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $1 billion for their clients.
Optima Tax, they helped me. They calmed me down. They made me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes made of ticky-tacky. Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes.
You know I'm going to let this song play, everybody. This is one of my favorites. Sing it, Tim. Sing it, Tim. Not me, but...
They're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
Here we go. Here we go. That's what we do. Go to the university. Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Hey, maybe if you took out student loans, you might be living in a little box, too, after you graduate from college. Our guest, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. Big announcement. Holding off, though. Alan, I did want to get a little bit of your take on, though, the active boycotters of student loans. The people that are saying, I am intentionally not paying my student loans because I am going to get what by doing that?
Yeah, you know, that's more of a concoction of the mainstream corporate media. You know, they love trouble. They love a fight. They love to make the student loan borrowers look bad. It's how it's always been. And so now, yeah, they're just like they were sort of exaggerating the claim back in the 70s that everybody was running out and filing for bankruptcy on their student loans. So too today, they are trumping up these relatively rare instances of people having the ability to repay, but deciding not to repay. I think that's probably less than even 5% of all borrowers. You know, the media has been a very dirty player in this. We could talk a long time about that, but I'll just say that it's been an info war to try and get the truth out about this lending problem. And so it's kind of unhelpful to try and paint us student loan borrowers as a bunch of sort of ne'er-do-well, combative, against the grain, you know, protesters, when in fact the opposite is true.
Well, I mean, that's the other part of the reality. I remember one of our first callers when we had you on a year and a half ago. So saying like, look, I'm a truck driver with $30,000 in student loan debt, you know, and in fact, he was saying, you know, this $10,000 forgiveness could have been monumental for me. You know, I'm not a wealthy person who went and studied, you know, and not that there was anything wrong, but I didn't get my degree in basket weaving and gender studies.
Right.
You know, I took out money to become a truck driver. I'm making the American dream possible for lots of other people. A little bit of student loan forgiveness. And I think that's the other part of saying, who are student loan borrowers?
Alan? You know, 40% of all borrowers never graduated, first of all. 100% of student loan borrowers had to be financially needy in order to even qualify, certainly for federal student loans. Tens of millions of them went to community colleges, vocational schools, truck driving schools, like you mentioned. These are not your liberal elitist, avocado toast eating. You know, elites don't get student loans, period. It doesn't happen for them.
Oh, I had avocado on my toast this morning, but I had a fried egg with cheese. I had a fried egg with cheese on top of that, on top of the avocados.
Okay, so you're good.
Okay, just want to check. All right, Alan, so we got there. Now, here's the big announcement. Check this. Dude. I was like, are you kidding me? But I go to the webpage and I see it right there. collinsforpresident.com. Alan, you're running for president?
That's right, Tim. You know, I've been doing the student loan battle for 20 years now, and we had great hopes in the political process with, quite frankly, the Democrats that they would finally do what they had been promising to do for many, many years. And that was last session when we had Biden as the president, they had control over the House and the Senate. But, you know, as I said earlier, the core of this whole thing is bankruptcy. And the Democrats and the Republicans, they had a great bipartisan bill that would have returned limited bankruptcy rights to student loan borrowers at long last. And at the very last minute, they decided to not pass that bill. They meaning both the Democrats and the Republicans, they betrayed us. So, you know, I was looking forward to maybe getting that bill reintroduced today, but a month ago I met with our contacts in the Senate and they have no intention of even reintroducing that bill. And so I was thinking, what can I do? You know, the only thing that I can think of that could flip the script, change the game, you know, re-roll the dice and change the public conversation is to, run for president so that we can actually pose a viable threat, not just to the Democrats, but also to the Republicans. You know, more than half of all student loan borrowers are either Republican or independent. People don't realize that, but it's true. And so we're not a spoiler to either party, or maybe you could say we're a spoiler for both parties.
I was going to say,
not a partisan play. We're not, you know, this is not a Ralph Nader thing, nothing like that. And,
let's not, though. I mean, because right now, this is serious, though. I mean, you are truly running for president, because I can hear somebody right now listening and going, what's he running on, student loan cancellation? You know, and it's like, of course.
You know, Tim, there are 43.4 million federal student loan borrowers.
That's a lot of voters.
That's a lot of voters. It's 39 million people who are losing sleep over their student loans. They were never going to be able to repay them. That's a huge number of voters, and they span the political spectrum. And so, this giant, I would say it's the largest politically untethered voting bloc in modern American history. And if both parties are going to just completely neglect and betray us, well, somebody's got to step into that. And so that's what I'm doing.
And we're going to get to your other issues. It's Alan Collins, Student Loan Justice Org. He's running for president, and we have a caller, Jackie in Texas. Jackie, you are calling. What's happening down in Texas, Jackie?
It's a mess. There's $141 billion of student loans that are owed by 4.5 Texans. It's outrageous. Now, all of America needs to get on board and vote for Alan Collins, because he is going to be there working for us. Right now, the politicians, the rich, they just want to keep funding the rich. They want the rich to get richer, and they don't care about the poor or the middle class. So if we want, if we wanted any change to come about, we need to get a change in the House, right? So everyone needs to get on board and get Alan in there so that he can try to save America.
Well, Jackie, it sounds like we might have lost you there. Jackie, thanks for the call. Thanks for calling Busted Pencils. Alan, you got one supporter in Texas.
I appreciate that greatly. You know, and Jackie was right. She knows her stuff. $141 billion hanging around the necks of the people of Texas. That's $9 billion a year in interest being sucked out of the people of Texas of all political stripes, sent to Washington, D.C. Like, no conservative should be for that. Like, the governor of Texas should be
Make the conservative argument for student loan, you know, cancellation, get rid of.
Well, yeah, it's stronger than the liberal argument, you can say. You know, the Federal Department of Education and the colleges have erected this unconstitutional, unconscionable, red state wrecking, like Texas, loan scam. And this thing is sucking huge amounts of unearned wealth. And if you look at the worst hurt states, it's not Massachusetts or Washington or Oregon or California. No. If you look at the worst hurt states, it's the entire South, from Texas to Florida, up to Virginia and over to Missouri and everything in between. Alabama, North South Carolina, Kentucky. These states are being wrecked far worse than the rest of the union in mostly federal student loan debt. Like, no true conservative can look at this and say this is a good thing. It's not. And, you know, if people are worried about the colleges, you know, indoctrinating our youth or whatever the people on the right like to say, well, they've apparently been duped, because as they wag their finger at the borrowers and say, pay your loan, what they're actually doing is defending and protecting this unconscionable loan scam that benefits the colleges and the Department of Education, which most conservatives say they want to shut down. So there's a very fundamental bad brain thing going on with many conservatives who have, quite frankly, been programmed by the media. So,
well, there you go, conservatives. There's your reason to be voting for it. I think this is LA Tom, right, Anya? That's right. LA Tom from Los Angeles, Wisconsin native originally. LA Tom is on the line. LA Tom, how are you, my friend?
Hey, guys, I'm good. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We need to decide as a country, and this goes all the way back even with the media, everyone. Do we value education? Do we value education in this country or not? I look at everything, because I'm a small business owner as well, as I look at everything as a return on investment. And the thing is, the return on investment on a college education or schooling in general or education in general pays you back tenfold, much more than throwing a bomb over into a country and letting it blow up and gives us no redeeming value whatsoever. But what I'm saying is that we have to decide what is our priority. We also need to talk in this discussion about money in politics and how, because of Citizens United, because of Buckley versus Vallejo and First National Bank versus Bilotti, we have politicians that now have been bribed, and it's the only way they can get into offices with big money. And that does not, and we need to get money out of politics so we can restore government back to we the people and get our democracy back. Because right now, you can have 200,000 to 300,000 people marching outside of the Capitol of Madison. And you know what? They just wait you out and wait till the next donor comes by to pay the bill and put a commercial up that's a lie about someone on the other side.
Buy a security fence for the next time.
I was going to say, Alan, our guest right there. Go ahead, Tom. Finish up there.
The only other thing is we have got to learn, as a very, very simple concept, the difference between public versus private. And public is about we the people not making a profit. Private is about a private individual making a profit. And I never understood that concept really even into my 20s. And I'm so happy that I have now, because it's such an important thing, because you always have to make a profit when it's a private organization. And the Republicans and other people that are bought off by the billionaire donors are basically trying to tear the public universities and public institutions down, so therefore they can be privatized and taken over so someone can make a profit.
L.A. Tom. We love it when L.A. Tom gives us a call. Alan, what do you think about L.A. Tom there? And I saw you nodding in agreement a lot.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that he said there that I disagree with. And you know, the federal student loan program is the perfect poster child of how private for-profit enterprises come in, they capture government, and they turn this, what originally was a well-meaning program to educate the country, into a profit center for themselves. And, you know, it's gone so deep with the federal student loan program, the Department of Education is completely on board with making a profit. Like, where does the government make a profit? Does the Air Force make a profit? No. Does the Department of Health Human Services make a profit? No. No federal agencies make a profit, but the Department of Education makes $100 billion in profit a year on interest on these federal student loans.
So why would they ever cancel it then?
Well, that's exactly right. And that's what we're up against here. The lending system has failed. Everything I said earlier is still true. But there is a very strong, I'd say it tends to be Republican. It's greed. It's people who want to make money. It's both sides of the aisle. You know, this thing transcends partisan politics. It's just a very strong greed motivation that gives this lending system very strong roots in Washington, D.C. So this is a very, very important battle that we're in.
This is our guest tonight, Alan Collins, student loan justice org. But Alan, big announcement tonight, you know, running for president. And the reality is there. Check it out. collegeforpresident.com. You can go there. Check it out. You know, people are like, what's he running on, student loans? Well, yes, but, you know, I got there. Go to the website. Taxing the wealthy, reducing spending, securing the border, growing the economy, healthcare, internet censorship, surveillance, data gathering and privacy, China, foreign relations, election integrity, and more importantly, you want to hear what the people think. Alan Collins, thank you for busting pencils. When we get back, Tim and Anya, break it down, busted pencils, back after the break.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Half Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Half Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Half Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Half Diamonds, where they want your business.
This is the Shaw, W-A-U-K.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back. Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. It's where blue-collar scholars gather. Our guest tonight was Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org, big major announcement. He is running for president. People think, well, really? Yeah, go check it out. We said, you know, collegeforpresident.com. You can see it's there. He's more than about student loans. Anya, so there you are. You're the new producer to Busted Pencils. You didn't meet Alan before you got this gig. What do you think about Student Loan Justice Org, his organization? Did you learn anything tonight?
I do feel like I learned a lot. I was really amazed by his statement about, you know, he's right. All these other departments that the government funds, these things do not end up being profitable. It's kind of like when people talk about, like, hey, we got to fix the public buses until they're profitable. And it's like, well, they're never probably going to be profitable. They're a service we provide because we're, sorry, I have to break this to you. We're a society now. We have to take care of each other. I'm so sorry to tell you guys. So I'm obviously very much for forgiveness. I'm for the justice part of it. And I think he's right about the overblown idea that there are people out there who can pay and are somehow flaunting their choice to not. My understanding has always been is if you've got money that the government wants, they're going to find their way to it. So I'd be kind of amazed if those boycotts exist. I think it's a lot more people like me who keep having to go back and saying, nope, pockets are still empty, guys, get off my back. That's kind of the reality. At least it's my reality, and I'm the producer. So here I am to tell you about it.
And what producer Anya says is always the truth.
That's
producer
right.
Anya, oh, she is always Anya. She's there. Okay, so Anya, now, just so you know, one of the things though that we didn't really talk about here, and this is another issue, is that the student loan forgiveness that's occurring right now, and I wanted to get a little bit more of this, go in with Alan, but to realize that a lot of the forgiveness that's happening right now is not really new. This is forgiveness that should have happened, that now all of a sudden the president has decided, hey, let's enforce the rules that were in place. And I will point out that as a person, I was one of those people who, during the first public student loan forgivenesses that came out in the 2000s up through the, I was like, oh my God, I'm eligible. I was a public school employee. I taught for, I paid my student loans for upwards of 20 years at that time. And I was like, I get to apply for student loan forgiveness. And guess what happened, Anya?
You totally got it and your finances are fixed.
Right? And life was awesome ever since. It was instant. They said, Tim, you are forgiven. No, they didn't. Sorry, Tim. This program isn't for you. I was like, well, wait, why is it not for me? It's for people who've been working in public, like a teacher like me, for 10 years and paying on their loans for 10 years. I've been doing it for 20. How come I don't? Well, sorry, Tim. There's a fine print there that you must have missed. It doesn't count for you.
Yeah,
all right?
And if it's not for you, who's that for, huh?
Yeah, I was like, well, who's getting it? And so, you know what, though? And at the time, I agreed. And I said, oh, well, I begrudgingly agreed, went on my way. And then, I don't know, the mid-2010s or, the teens, I said, maybe I'll give this a try again. Because now I had paid another 7 years. And I was like, okay, I've more than done my 10 years. No, Tim, no, still, it's not for you. It's, we know you've been, a teacher for 20 some years, but no. And I put this out there for people to hear this, because this is what happened to a lot of people. So at a point I said, well, then, I got a really great offer from a private debt consolidator that said they could really reduce my payments and my interest rates and make life a little bit easier for me. And guess what I did? That's where my loan is now. And now guess what? It is never, ever, ever going to be available for forgiveness. People are sitting there going, well, Tim, you're the dumb person or the dumb butt who made that stupid decision. I guess, but really, shouldn't I be allowed to get what was given to me? So if President Biden is canceling loans right now, what he's really doing, what Alan said, is he's canceling all those loans that should have been canceled back in the early public student loan forgiveness rounds. Shouldn't I get mine canceled now, though?
I mean, you should. You've been paying your student loan back longer than I've been alive. So that's kind of scary. Like for me to think about it.
That's a whole other statistic. Yeah, that's a whole other statistic that Alan brings up too. Yeah. Which is, but people are like, well, you should have never went into the private consolidation. I'm like, well, but I would have never gone there had I been given the program that was supposedly available. And now the president's all about making the program that was supposed to be available to people. However, what about, and so I'm out there looking, potentially, occasionally, every so often, thinking, could something happen for me one day? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But we're out there. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Some great callers. Jackie from Texas, L.A. Tom. Always appreciate L.A. Tom giving us a call, coming in. And again, we'll wish Johnny Lupinacci, we're going to see him back tomorrow. We know we just got a text from him. All is well. All is fine. So anybody who was worried, if you're a praying person, Johnny appreciates it. We thank you. Student loans, though, the topic of tonight, forgiveness, and we said this one thing, though, too. It's like even the word forgiveness on you when it first came out was kind of like this idea, like you did something wrong.
Yeah.
It was like, isn't that a problem that it's forgiveness? You bad person, we're going to forgive you for now, but don't you go be bad again.
Don't you dare go get another one of those higher educations you're always talking about.
Don't you go get yourself smarter and making yourself a contributing member of this democracy and participating and having thoughts about things and maybe even potentially reading books that might offend people and then even becoming a public school teacher. Oh, Busted Pencils, fully leaded Education Talk, Blue Collar Scholar. We're back tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, too. Introduction, the women from Educators Amplified, Joanna and Hallie, are going to be on Wednesday. It's going to be a regular occurrence. We're looking forward to that. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. See you again tomorrow night.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues, thanks to our fine sponsor, Chance Design Build. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From the Nevada primary, Tuesday, February 6th, through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings you on-the-ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.